God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Let's pray together. Now, Father, we ask that you pour your Holy Spirit upon us. Fill us to overflowing with all your fullness, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together will be acceptable in your sight through Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, every fall, I start planning the sermons for the following year. And when I'm using the lectionary, I go through it and choose texts, develop themes, and come up with sermon titles for the coming year. So last week when I began work on this sermon, I only had the text from Haggai. For whatever reasons, I had not yet developed a theme or come up with a title. I don't know what my thinking was last year. I don't know why I did that. This is the only Sunday in the entire year that I left open. So I was somewhat bewildered on Saturday a week ago when I started on this. The very first thing I do on that Saturday when I start a sermon is start researching the text using the lectionary commentary. So I turn to the lectionary and I discover the lectionary text for this Sunday was not Haggai. For some reason, I chose the wrong text and I don't have a clue why I did that. As it turned out, the lectionary has a three-year cycle with years marked as A, B, and C. This year, which concludes with Christ the King Sunday, is year C. I'm now working on year A for next year, 2023. I apparently chose Haggai from the wrong year. He's in there someplace, I know, but I don't know how I got to him or he got to this. But after being bewildered for a day trying to figure it out, I decided to stay with it. Because it seemed to fit where we are as a congregation right now. So, providence is at work, even in my mistakes. And for that, I am thankful. Haggai is one of the 12 minor prophets. Prophets are designated as major or minor simply on the pages of their work. He was also the first of the three post-exilic prophets who spoke to the Jews who had returned to Judah from the exile in Babylon. He had a very specific mission. Command the people of Judah to rebuild the temple. He appeared on the public scene for only 3 months, in August of 520 BC, and then he disappeared from the public scene in December of that same year, after giving his last prophecy. We know nothing of his personal story, although some scholars believe he may have been exiled to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar and then returned with the exiles to Jerusalem. For his prophecy seems to suggest he saw the former temple before its destruction. Now, if this is true, he would have really been quite old, probably close to 90. When he delivered his prophecy. And he must have been highly motivated, having spent years waiting for the restoration promised by the prophet Ezekiel while he was in Babylon during the exile. Now, the Persian king Cyrus had issued a decree in 538 BC, allowing people deported by the Babylonian Empire to return to their homelands. Historians believe about 50,000 Jews made the four-month trek back to Judah. And under the able leadership of Zerubbabel and Joshua, began the rebuilding of a destroyed city, Jerusalem, even laying the foundation for the second temple. Due to problems with the Samaritans, however, the work on the temple stopped. And this is where Haggai comes in some 18, 20 years later. He appeared on the scene in 520 BC. It's interesting to point out that Haggai actually dated his own prophecies. He gave four messages corresponding to our calendar to his. The first was in August of 520 BC, the second in October of 520 BC, and the final two in December of 520 BC. And then he disappears. We know nothing more about him. He was single-minded in his mission. People, hear the word of the Lord, rebuild the temple. He tells us that they'd already built comfortable and well-appointed homes for themselves, but they were neglecting the house of the Lord. His first message was to the appointed governor of Judah, Zerubbabel, who also was a descendant of David. Haggai argued that their failure to rebuild the temple was the reason for their hard times. Initially, they were faced with opposition from the Samaritans. Now they were faced with a different kind of opposition. They placed their self-interest and their own economic security over the state of God's house. Haggai called them on it. It took much courage and conviction to do that. For it was a time of economic recession and drought, and he blames these hard times on their failure to finish the temple. His rebuke was successful, for the governor, high priest, and the people came together, and construction actually began on the temple. It's a powerful story of the power of God's word when listened to by the people and obeyed. Then the prophet made a quick turn in his message from reproach to reassurance. Discouragement set in, and Haggai reminded the people that the God who delivered them, their ancestors from Egypt, was still their God and would continue to be with them. Haggai's message of rebuke and encouragement is a message for us as well today. It was important that the temple be restored as God's house, but more importantly, to give the people the space needed to worship God. Their own well-appointed homes had become central to their lives. Now it was time to reorient their lives to the house of the Lord. The call for rebuilding the temple was really a call to reorient their lives. Haggai reminded the people that their lives belong to God and God alone. They were to take courage in the work and remember that the faithfulness of the Lord of hosts would sustain them in their work during those hard times. Now, the words, the Lord of hosts, appear 14 times in this short prophecy, emphasizing that God, the God they knew, was more powerful than the economic uncertainty and their poor harvest. It was a phrase used throughout the Old Testament, referring to God as the commander of armies and angels, as well as of stars and planets. The Lord of hosts is all powerful and all knowing and able to provide. Life was out of sorts. They were earning wages, yet putting their earnings in a bag with holes. Sounds like runaway inflation. They had sown much, but harvested little. A drought had devastated their crops. Folks, things were not going well. We know that experience, don't we? And it was to this people that the prophet commanded them to use their time, their talents, and their money to rebuild the temple. This command could not have come at a worse time, except God's timing is never off. Never. It's an amazing story, given their circumstances. They listened and they obeyed. Haggai is one of the few prophets in which the people heard the rebuke and obeyed. They repented and they started to work on the second temple in the face of their own severe hardship and instability. The work actually began in 520 BC, was completed in 4 years in the year 516 BC, with a dedication ceremony taking place during the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. Haggai's story is a powerful story of the interaction between God and God's people. God doing God's part and the people doing the people's part. This story, folks, is our story. There are similarities, even in the details, between the story of the ancient Jews and our story today. Like them, we're living in a time of economic instability. The stock market has lost almost 25% of its value this past year. Inflation is running amok. Many economists are warning us of a recession that's coming. Some are saying it's already upon us. On top of all this, we're still dealing with the fallout of a pandemic, as well as political instability with the upcoming midterm elections, leaving our future in uncertain terms. It's under these difficult circumstances we're in the process of calling a new pastor, reviewing the paid position of the congregation with the potentially increased cost that may come with that. With all of this, the session has made a commitment to renovate this building. With a property team working on a 5-year plan, already this year alone, over $60,000 has been spent on restoring the roof and other smaller projects. What's the first word to come to mind? Fear. What did the prophets say to them in the midst of their difficult circumstance when they were called to rebuild the temple? Do not fear. Fear overwhelmed the hearts of the ancient Jews who, in the face of difficult circumstances, said the time hasn't come yet to rebuild the house of the Lord. With the economic uncertainty we're facing today, the temptation is to react in the same way. Surely this is not the time to rebuild, to renovate God's house. This is not it. Things are too uncertain. But the ancient Jews fear their circumstance morphed, folks. They had fear, but it morphed into fear of the Lord. And that is an altogether different kind of fear. They were in awe of the Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts, the God who provides. And they chose to trust him in the face of their dire circumstances. In response, the Lord had another word for them. I am with you. I am with you. It was enough to stir them up. It captured their hearts, their imaginations. As Zerubbabel, the governor, Joshua, the priest, and all the people joined hands to rebuild the house of the Lord. What a story. Our story. We're reliving it today. The same story. Even so, people are people. It didn't take long for discouragement to set in. Then Haggai brought another word from the Lord to the people. It seemed that they were concerned that the glory of the former temple would be greater than the glory of the new temple. And God spoke through the prophet and told him not to worry. He would fill his house with splendor. Some of you have memories when this building was filled to overflowing in the worship center on Sunday mornings. And the overflowing crowd came here and sat in the chapel participating in worship via speakers hanging on the walls. 20 years ago, the Spirit spoke to me. I thought we were going to close as a congregation. But the Spirit reassured me that was not going to happen. The Spirit told me these walls will not contain what God is going to do. I also knew that it wasn't going to happen under my leadership. I was only preparing the people for what was yet to come. It was a time when I believed Riverview Presbyterian Church was going to close its doors. I was discouraged. I was going to be without a job. And the Spirit assured me that was not going to happen. And here we are, 20 years later. Folks, when God speaks, God's word cannot fail. When God speaks, God's word cannot fail. What is true for the Old Testament saints is true for us today. For the prophet Balaam spoke these words, God is not a human being that he should lie, or a mortal that he should change his mind. Has he promised? And will he not do it? Has he spoken? And will he not fulfill it? God will do God's part. We need to do our part. That is, continue to step into the future, responding to the needs of this congregation and to the world around us, trusting the Lord of hosts, the Lord of angels and armies, the Lord of stars and moons, the God who provides. These are dire times. It's really a time to be renovating the house of the Lord. Be encouraged. The Lord of hosts has a word for us today as we embark on these new ventures. I am with you. I am with you. Folks, I've learned, and I keep learning it over and over again. I've learned when we know that God is with us, when we know that God is with us, not just comprehend with our minds, but apprehend with our souls, when we know that God is with us, we have nothing to fear. Tomorrow, the stock market can wipe out our assets, and we still have nothing to fear. We listen and we obey. That's our part. And God will do God's part. Like the ancient Jews facing dire economic circumstances, they forged ahead. We too can forge ahead with God's plans to renovate this building, assess our personnel needs, revitalize our worship experience, and call a new pastor. We can forge ahead with all those things. And when doubt and anxiety come knocking on our door, remember the word of the Lord of hosts. I am with you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.